Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. New York City, former oyster capital of the world. Did you know that? There was a time when New York Harbor had over 350 square miles of oyster beds, nearly half of the world's supply. Oysters flooded the city's restaurants. Streetside oyster vendors were as popular as hot dog stands are today. Local oysters were a delicious treat. They cleaned our waterways and they bolstered aquatic wildlife. But oysters have since disappeared from our harbor, mostly because of human intervention. Still, there are new efforts to reintroduce them in Jamaica Bay. The scientist leading these efforts, Jeffrey Leventon, is here to talk with us. He's a distinguished professor of ecology and evolution at SUNY Stony Brook. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also to talk to us about the history of oysters in New York, we have Mark Kurlansky, author of The Big Oyster, History on the Half Shell. Hey, Mark.
Hi.
So let's start with a history. I'm very intrigued by this description of New York where oysters were sold like hot dogs. I mean, tell us a little bit more about what it was like in those days.
Well, you know, oysters are an animal that lives in brackish water, which is water that's saltier than fresh water, but not as salty as the sea. So estuaries of river, places where fresh water jumps into seawater, are the ideal climate. And New Yorkers too easily forget that the five boroughs of New York City are a magnificent estuary of the Hudson River. And the entire estuary used to be full of oysters, which meant, you know, the East River and the Hudson and out in the harbor around Staten Island and Liberty Island and Ellis Island, which used to be called Big and Little Oyster Island. And the coast of the Bronx back when the Bronx had a non-industrial coast, and the Brooklyn coast and Queens and Jamaica, it was all full of oysters, and they were this tremendous natural resource that was identified with New York, so that for centuries, if somebody said they were going to New York City, the typical response was, enjoy the oysters, and they were sold everywhere. And
until what time?
Well, really, until 1927, when the last bed was closed, a process began in the 1880s when they started understanding about germs. There were chronic epidemics in New York history, and they never really understood the cause of them. And everybody sort of assumed that they must be caused by foreigners and immigration and poverty and, you know, all the things that everybody likes to get down on. Then they started understanding what really caused things like cholera and developed the ability to trace them, and they kept tracing them to oyster beds. So one by one, with each disease outbreak, a bed was closed, and the last bed, which was in Raritan Bay between Staten Island and New Jersey, was closed in 1927, and then it was over.
So they were actually, when you say closed, I mean they took out all the oysters, or?
No, it just became illegal to harvest them. And in fact, most of this pollution was from dumping raw sewage. It seems amazing in retrospect that it took centuries to understand that dumping raw sewage on a food supply was unhealthy. After they closed them, oysters could still live in that water. And Joseph Mitchell, the New Yorker writer, in the 1950s, in Bottom of the Harbor, wrote about old oyster families from Staten Island. There was oystering was the main economic activity in Staten Island, and these old oysters used to go out in the harbor and just harvest a few for a family celebration, and they'd all get very sick. But then in the 50s and 60s and 70s, really bad things happened to the water, industrial things. I mean, just about anything you could imagine got dumped in from, you know, from oil refineries and PCBs and heavy metals and napalm. The byproducts of
really?
Manufacturing napalm for the Vietnam War in New Jersey got dumped in. Everything got dumped in, and it got to a point. I mean, I sure remember this. There's a lot of people around who remember when the water around New York was kind of black and slick, and in places it would be kind of bubbly. And not much could live there. An oyster sure couldn't live there. And a lot of this stuff got cleaned up thanks to the 1972-73 Clean Water Act, which mandated the cleanup. Unfortunately, they still haven't been able to clean up all the heavy metals and PCBs, but they have cleaned up, you know, to the point where oysters can now live. You know, over the years it was tested, and they would find that not only they plant oysters, not only wouldn't they live, but, you know, the shells would get etched with acid in a very short period of time. It's not like that anymore. Oysters can live in New York City
water.
Well,
let's ask Jeffrey Levington about that, because, I mean, I do know that the waters are cleaner, people swim, but nevertheless, it seems counterintuitive that you try to bring oysters back. Why are you?
Well, oysters have lots of functions. We don't really expect oysters to be eaten in many of the New York Harbor waters today. Just too many toxic substances coming in, and they have to be managed. But oysters are very good for the ecosystem for many reasons, one of which is they create a habitat that attracts fishes and lots of species. So it's just a missing habitat that would be a magnet for many, many types of crabs and fishes that would come in. But also oysters process water. They filter water. Oysters literally suck, and they suck in great profusion. They clear water, and they would be very useful in very shallow water to clear the algae out of the water and make it clearer. That would allow eelgrass to live. It would also allow lots of other organisms to live on the seabed and would, to some degree, increase water quality. So there's a great interest in restoring oysters throughout this region.
How do you go about that?
Well, it's not easy. And one of the biggest problems we have is that oysters are so rare now that we don't have a lot of larvae in the water. If you're down in Chesapeake Bay or further south, there's still enough oysters around that there are lots of larvae in the water that come and settle on the bottom. But you have to create a habitat first.
That's an oyster larvae?
Yes, and these are oysters have really fantastic sex. They first grow up as males, and then they turn into females. And both the males or females spawn gametes in the water, and they fuse and form a larva. And that larva sits in the water for about 3 weeks and swims around and moves with the currents. And that larva is what's essential to settle on a hard substratum. So to make an oyster reef, you first of all have to have a lot of hard bottom, and oyster shell is the best. And then you have to have reasonably clear water, so the oysters, they can't have too much algae in the water. They settle down, they attach to these shells, and then they start growing. But then they have to reproduce, and they have to produce larvae in the next generation.
So how do you get an oyster to reproduce?
Well, you don't have to do much. And in fact, in Jamaica Bay, we've been growing oysters for the last year and a half, and they grow faster than oysters anywhere else in this region, believe it or not. They grow up, they become sexually mature, and they spawn out. You just give them a healthy water bottom, a good bottom, and good water, and enough food. They will grow and reproduce on their own. But you have to have enough oysters in the water to provide enough larvae that they're going to settle so you can get sustainable reefs. Just having one oyster is not enough, or two oysters are not enough. You have to have enormous populations to start with, and that's the problem, is kickstarting it with a very large restoration project.
Mark Karlansky,
you have to have enough lime content in the water, right?
Well, you really need a bottom that's hard. And the simplest way of doing that is putting a lot of oyster shell down. But now, even in New York waters, even oyster shell is limiting, because unless you have live oysters growing, the shell just deteriorates. So you have to have a living reef to sustain a reef and get it going.
Mark Karlansky, you talk about how the oyster has been so wrapped up with New York history. What do you think happens if the oyster comes back to New York?
Oh, I think that if oysters, you know, if it got to the point where you could eat them, which implies, you know, a lot of cleanup that hasn't happened. But, it, you know, if you could get to that point, I think very quickly New York would return to being the oyster center of the world. And, you know, I mean, already there's been a resurgence in the popularity of oysters in New York City. They're just not local oysters. If local oysters were good to eat, this would once again be a place associated with oysters. But the big
what does that mean to be a place associated with oysters? I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, you know, now New York is associated with hot dogs. I don't know that, you know, sort of has changed New York as a place. I don't know how would it change New York as a place other than there would be good oysters to eat that would be cheaper.
Well, the great thing about it is that when the oyster beds died, New Yorkers lost their connection with the sea. And it's a very funny thing that we have. We live on the sea, and we completely forget about it. New Yorkers this time of year often talk about leaving town to go to the ocean. You know, we're on the ocean, and we've just lost that connection. It would if we were eating a natural product from our ocean, people would regain that appreciation of the fact that, you know, New York City is a place on the sea and we're living in the estuary of a river, and it's a great waterway.
Jeffrey Leventon, how far away from New York do you have to go before you can eat the oysters?
Well, in eastern Long Island and in Long Island Sound, there are very active oystering fisheries going on. Well,
the Long Island Sound, I mean, you know, that, how far out? I mean, Orchard Beach is on the Long Island Sound, but I don't know that I would want to eat the oysters from there.
Maybe not there. There are a few poor, pathetic oysters living on Orchard Beach, but there's active oystering in central Long Island Sound, even as far west as Greenwich. You may know that Greenwich, Connecticut, recently had its oyster fishery reopened, and this is what we really hope for. I would say in a place like Jamaica Bay, it's going to be for our grandchildren, because we have something like 16 metric tons of nitrogen and 250 million gallons a day of wastewater going into the water. But, you know, the moment you eat something by the waterside, this is, I think, something that Mark said is very important. The moment you see something that's by the waterside and you eat it, your affiliation with the ocean increases tremendously. In other words, eating sushi may be great, but eating oysters by the waterside in a waterside restaurant immediately increases your enthusiasm. And you should see all the fishermen that are fishing around Staten Island now and fishing around the Statue of Liberty because the fish are back, because the oxygen in the water has increased there. New York's water are really on a roll. The water's improving dramatically. Every couple of years, it gets better and better. So we're really at an optimal moment to bring lots of fisheries back, and some of them are coming back naturally.
Mark Kalansky, does it become a sort of a process that accelerates itself, which is to say if once oysters start coming back and people start getting more attached to the ocean, do they then care about cleaning it up even faster?
Yeah, exactly. And of course, if you had, as Jeff was saying, you know, if you had lots of oysters in there, it would clear the water. I think that when Henry Hudson first sailed into New York Harbor, the water must have been incredibly clear, and you could see right to the bottom because there were so many oysters there. And, you know, this has a lot of implications for fishing, which is increasingly popular, and, you know, just using the water for recreation, you know, becomes a beautiful and very pleasant place. But, you know, in all of this upbeat optimism, I do have to keep emphasizing that there is a huge task in the cleanup of PCBs and heavy metals that hasn't even really started to get accomplished.
What about, before we start talking about, you know, chemicals and sewage and the like, tell me about oyster recipes back in the day. How are they eaten?
Well, of course, they were eaten on the half shell. For all you could eat for success was the Canal Street plan, it was called. They were incredibly cheap. There was a popular thing called oyster loaf, and oyster stew was a very popular New York thing. one of those wonderful dishes that's gone out of fashion because it's so rich, you know, it had all this cream in it and a pat of butter melting on the top and all that stuff that we want to pretend we don't like anymore.
Jeffrey Levington, do you have a favorite oyster recipe?
Raw oysters. My wife and I were in Australia in January. We were just cruising along the road. There was a stand. We pulled over, had a dozen oysters with a little bit of lemon. I can't think of anything better.
All right. And just to clarify one point about the issue of PCBs, that has to be a separate cleanup, or can oysters clean up PCBs?
No, oysters cannot do that. They take these things up, and then they tend to keep them in their body. So you really have to turn off the faucet. Oysters are there cleaning things up, but they're not good. They're not cleaning themselves up. So really we have to reduce the input. And there are active programs now to try and reduce nitrogen input, for example, into Jamaica Bay. And I think they will be successful in the future. Metals are going down in the New York area. Mercury has gone down tremendously over the last 50 years. But there still have to be active programs, and PCBs, there's only now beginning to be some dredging going on up in the Hudson, but it's really insufficient to give a safe pass yet. So we have a lot to do yet, and I would say this is not something that's going to happen 10 years from now. This is a multi-decade problem.
All right, bringing
the animals back, we can do that now.
We have to end it there. Thank you so much, Jeffrey Levington, Distinguished Professor of Ecology and Evolution at SUNY Stony Brook, and Mark Kurlansky, author of The Big Oyster, History on the Half Shell. I'm going to go have some oysters on the half shell, my favorite. Yum, with a little vinegar, shallot. Barbecued oysters aren't bad, though, either. Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. WNYC AMA 20, 93.9 FM, and WNYC.org.